All right, so today we're doing a deep dive into the Western Cape Department of Health and Wellness's latest annual report.
For 2024-25, yeah.
And if you really want to see what it looks like to deliver public services under, well, extreme pressure, this is the document to read.
The whole year was just defined by what the report itself calls persistent budget cuts and accompanying austerity measures.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit, because we're not just talking about some internal belt tightening. There was a much bigger strategic issue.
Yeah.
Right? What was that critical external shock?
Well, that's what's so fascinating here. You have the internal budget restraint, but at the same time, a huge external funding withdrawal.
Right.
The big one was the loss of major donor support, specifically USAID and PEPFAR funding,
which is huge for HIV and TB program.
It's the backbone. I mean, these funds support the NGO partners who do so much of that vital work. And when that funding just vanishes, well, the patients don't.
They just get absorbed into the provincial system.
Exactly. An already strained system, it adds just immense pressure.
And that really puts the operational scale into perspective. Because even with all that, the system didn't collapse. Their primary healthcare services still delivered 18.7 million service contacts.
And if you connect that to the hospitals, you can see the strain. The hospital platform had over 1 million emergency cases.
A million.
And 512,997 inpatient separations. So, you know, people being discharged after a stay. And on the ground, the EMS, the paramedics, they handled over 596,000 incidents.
Right.
The demand is just relentless.
But that relentless demand, when it meets austerity, it leads to these impossible choices. The report gets into some really difficult specifics. Like, they had to discontinue theater services at Radikatsa Hospital. A 25-bed ward was closed at George Regional Hospital, which then just funnels all that pressure right back to its emergency center.
And it hit the really specialized areas, too. Because of the budget freezes, there were severe nursing shortages.
So it wasn't just about money. It was about people.
Right. And that led to things like the temporary closure of the only adolescent inpatient ward at Groote Schuur Hospital. I mean, that's a major tertiary facility.
Wait, hold on a second. They're forced to close wards and theaters, but then the report also says the department achieved another clean audit.
Yep.
And it recorded an overall under expenditure of R134 million.
Mm.
How do you explain that paradox?
It's a really important question. The clean audit, it speaks volumes about their governance. I mean, keeping your books perfect in that kind of chaos is remarkable. It shows incredible resilience.
Okay, so strong financial management.
And it's not just that. Their Barrett Values culture score actually went up to 73, which suggests staff alignment and organizational health is improving, even with all this pressure.
Does a clean audit mean anything to a patient whose local theater just closed?
That's the tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
The R134 million under expenditure wasn't just, you know, leftover cash. A lot of it was mandated to be reserved for future liabilities. The department actually requested to roll over a portion of it, not just for cost pressures, but crucially to contribute to the co-payment for building the new Tygerberg Central Hospital.
So the painful cuts now were, in a way, part of a strategy to secure massive future investment.
It seems so. It reframes it from just cuts to a very difficult capital-focused prioritization.
And they did manage to push through some smaller projects, right? Like the new emergency center at Robertson Hospital.
Exactly. And that was done in just 8 months. And the new Villiersdorp ambulance station opened. So things were still happening.
So where do they go from here? They're closing the book on their 2025 strategic plan. What's next?
Well, the focus is now shifting much further ahead. They're working on an emerging framework for a new long-term strategy. It's called Healthcare 2050.
So what this all means for you, the listener, is that the health system has spent the last year in this incredible balancing act. Severe fiscal constraints on one side, relentless demand on the other.
All while maintaining this very high and frankly expensive level of financial compliance. We can leave you with the words of the MEC, the political head of the department.
Go on.
They said, "The challenges are not yet behind us, but we are determined to carry with us the spirit of tenacity, compassion, and innovation that defined this past year."
That tenacity is going to be crucial. Which brings us to our final thought. Given that the loss of USAID and PEPFAR funding crippled those NGO services for HIV and TB, forcing patients into the provincial system, how will this new Healthcare 2050 strategy secure sustainable long-term funding to support those exact external partners who are so essential for public health stability?
Something to mull over.